Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to speak about something actually that's brought down over the course of a number of parashios, one of which is in this week's parasha. And I wanted to compare two different approaches to understanding something that I don't know if you've ever thought of before. I've never really thought too much about it until a few years ago, and then I came across it in the Nesiv HaShalom again. I said, I have to do a little more research. If you look through our history, particularly in Sefer Bereishis, you know that Be'eros, wells, play a big role in a number of different episodes of our history. We know that Avraham and Yitzchak were particularly sensitive to the real estate of theirs in which a Be'er was located. They very much wanted to dig wells. When the Plishtim filled them up, they felt compelled to redig them again. Something that's a little bit unusual considering the Avos were not exactly gashmi, materialistic type people. We know that many of our matriarchs and patriarchs, Shiduchim, took place at wells. Eliezer found Rivka at a well. Yaakov found Rachel at a well. Moshe Abenu, not at a well necessarily, but a body of water. It caused a lot of questions about exactly what's doing with this well. What exactly does a well represent in Machshava, in our Jewish philosophy, in Ruchnius, that so many things focus around the well? The Avos, Avraham and Yitzchak, are so sensitive about their wells. So many of our Shiduchim are about our well. It requires some investigation, some exploration. So before I get to the Nesiv HaShalom, I wanted to share with you a different approach of the Sas Emes. Figure for doing some Chassidish HaTorahs, it's okay that we don't have to only do the Slonimer. Yeah? Okay. So the Sas Emes has a fantastic insight in Parshas Chayesar. You'll look it up. It's beautiful. In which he comments that the Be'er, a well, is essentially the mission statement of Avram Avinu and subsequently our other Avos, and by extension, part of our Mesorah. What about a well is so representative of our Mesorah, of our tradition? So he explains, if you think about it, what's a well? We don't have too many wells where we live or too many places in the world anymore, but you could walk past a well and it could simply look like a pile, a heap of rocks, and you don't think twice about it. You go on your merry way. What do you discover with a well? That if you walk closer to the well, and really close to the well, and then you lower the bucket and you raise it up, lo and behold, there's a nice surprise for you. What's the surprise? Water. And water, of course, is another way, one of the ways in which we describe our Torah. The same way that Mayim is a pivotal, is something that is so integral to our survival. Without Torah, we can't possibly survive. Says the Sfas Emes, that's the Be'er. Avram Avinu's mission, to his job in life when he's passed down to the generations, is there's more than what meets the eye. The first monotheist, the first one to publicize that there's one God, Hashem Echad, was Avram Avinu. That you could walk past that heap of rocks, of stones, you could think there's just a world of Gashmi, there's just a world of materialism. But if you take a step closer and you start to investigate a little bit, you will discover there's so much more than what meets the eye. There's a Ribono Shel Olam. There's a God who's working behind the scenes, pulling all the strings and organizing and being Mashgiach and watching over the world. And that says, the Sfas Emes is why Avram is so sensitive, not only about the fact that his Yitzchak, ultimately through Eliezer, met his Shidduch at a well, but even more importantly, he dafka needed to make sure that his wells that he dug remained with water that could be revealed. Because that was the mission statement of Avram, that's the mission statement of Yitzchak, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the Jew. The Jew, our job is to uncover the Ribono Shel Olam, as we spoke about last week, to bring the Elokus, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every single action that we do. When we're eating, we're making a bracha. When we're walking down the shul, we say, Marabu Masecha Hashem. When we're learning Hashem's Torah, you make sure that you recognize it's Dvar Hashem. It's bringing Hashem into your world. That is what a Jew is. In fact, I was talking to my, I went to parent-teacher conferences, I was a responsible parent shver, I went with the Rebbetzin, and I was meeting with the teachers, Baruch Hashem, and fantastic Rebbeim, fantastic teachers, and I had this urge, and I don't give the teachers a hard time, I'm a teacher, I know what it's like to be on the other side of the desk, and at the end of the conference, and then Baruch Hashem, they gave us some naches bli ayin hara, I said to him, how often do you talk about Hashem? So they started asking me, what do you mean talk about Hashem? So I said, I know in terms of learning the Mishnayos, and I learned in terms of learning the curriculum, but how often do we talk about Hashem? And they were so refreshed to hear that a parent, they wrote it down, like usually, you know, you pretend like you don't even hear, right? But they wrote it down because it made such an impression. It's something that I've been thinking a lot about, and I've mentioned quite a number of times already in the last few weeks about talking not about Hashem, but about Hashem. Realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ever present in our lives. And that's really what Avraham Avinu tried to do. He tried to uncover, he tried to reveal the Elokus, the Ribono Shel Olam, in every single thing that we do, which is a beautiful, beautiful mahalich, and makes a lot of sense as to why Avraham was so focused on his Be'eros. However, I can't go a Wednesday this year without quoting the Nesiv Hashem, the Heilig Aslanim Rebbe. And the Rebbe gives a beautiful insight about the Be'eros. We don't have time to do the entire piece, which is why I only photocopied a piece of it. He talks a little bit about Avraham, and the reason that Avram was so sensitive about his wells was this, to reveal the Ahavas Hashem, and that Yitzchak ultimately was there to reveal the Yiras Hashem. But there's something specific to this week's parsha that I thought was so insightful, so meduyuk in the words, based on the Medrash, that I couldn't go a Wednesday without sharing it with you. So we're going to read only a few short lines on the page that I've handed out. We're going to begin with the paragraph Ubiyakov. If everybody can find that with me. The reason why I'm going to read this with you again, as I mentioned to you from the beginning, we're learning about Chavrusa. I just happen to be talking and you happen to be listening. But we're going to read it together because he does a much better job of articulating this incredible message than I do. And he says as follows. Ubiyakov ne'amar v'ha'evin gedola al piaber. The pasuk says, no one was able to remove this tremendous rock from on the be'er. Yaakov, the muscle man, gets up there. He's the Ishtam Yoshev Alim. He hasn't done too much exercise, and yet somehow he has, from within, he's able to remove the Evan, and everybody's able to drink. So Be'er, Meruma Zala Torah. A Be'er is a Hindu, it alludes to the Torah. Himidaso Shayakov Tiferes, Titanemus the Yaakov, Azen Nemrava, Evan Agadol Apia Be'er. Evan, says the Medrash, according to Bereishis Rabbah, who a Yitzer Hara. An Evan in the Medrash is another one of these items, objects, that hints to, that is, resonates or mentions or represents the Yitzhara. She Yitzhara is Gaber B'Yoser B'Inyan HaTorah, right? The stronger, Taiva, the learned, the desire to learn Torah is stronger than any other desire that we have. We have this innate desire to want to connect to Hashem and to understand His world. So when your Taiva, when your desire for Torah to do mitzvos is strong, what's going to have to be even stronger? The Yitzhara, right? She Yitzhara is Gaber B'Yoser B'Inyan HaTorah. Kevin Shodeh says, Shazekach Kenegdo, because he realizes the Yitzhara, that the innate desire that we have to learn Torah is strong, so he's got to be even more creative. He's got to be even stronger. And that's why the Gemara says in Kiddushin, Barasi Yitzhara. Hashem said, I created the Yitzhara, but what else did I create? Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. I created the Torah as the antidote, as a way to combat the Yitzhara. Listen to this. Such an insightful, creative way of explaining what was so special about the fact that Yaakov removed this heaven. Listen to this. What does the Yitzhara do? He tries to find every way. He knows he can't just tell you don't learn. It's not going to happen. Jews and Torah is never going to be broken. So what's he going to do? He's going to try to poison you by making sure that you do things shalol lishma. So he's going to put Shaket up there to make sure that the Shver is impressed with his son-in-law. And he's going to make sure that he's steiging in his Shiva. So he makes sure he gets the right Shidduch. Whatever the case may be, the Yitzhar is smart. He can't push him away from Torah. That's unreasonable. That's not possible. So he's going to try every which way to try to bring things that are Shalol Lishma to poison the quality of his learning. Ukeneged ze vayagel Yaakov Esau Evan. What did Yaakov do? He removed the rock. Wow. He removed the rock. And listen to this, it gets better. Oh, it gets better. Yaakov whom he lashon Akev. Right? Yaakov's name is for the heel. Hachelech hanomof b'yoser b'guf, the lowest point of a human being. Shal midaso shal Yaakov inyana bitul gomer l'Hashem yizbarach ka'ayin v'cha'efes. Do you know how Yaakov was able to remove the Yetzirah and to be one with the Torah? Remember, Yaakov is Torah. Emes, Torah, that's him. Ava, Yira, Emes, and Torah, that's Yaakov Avinu. How did he do that? How did he remove the Yetzirah? How did he remove that Evan? How did he remove the impediment and not allow the Yetzirah to impact him? He became like his heel. He made himself completely batel. He humbled himself to such a degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything and I am nothing. That's why Hashem, he walks on his feet. And he goes on and he quotes the Gemara on the left hand column in Brachos. We know Ein Divrei Torah, third line, Miskaimin Ela B'mi. You got to kill yourself over the Torah. You got to realize that the Torah is much bigger than you and me. You got to realize that the Torah is much greater than you and I. We got to fit ourselves into the Torah. The Torah doesn't fit into us. And that's Yaakov Avinu. Zeu ani na'amar b'Yaakov. Yaakov understood that the Evan was the Yetzer Hara. Yaakov, with his anivus, understood the only way I'm going to remove the Yetzer Hara so that I can be one with the Torah is understanding that at the end of the day, he is it and I am not. And the way to be Kone Torah, the way to be Choir Torah, and I don't just mean Limra Torah. I mean observance of mitzvos. I mean dveikos and kirvos and connection and closeness with Hashem requires as a prerequisite the understanding he is up there, we are down here, and we have to understand the world is a much bigger place than he and I. I'll tell you a great story and I'll close with this, but I think it's such a powerful idea. I don't know if it's true or not. It's probably not, but the idea itself is a fantastic one. There was once a community in Poland who decided they were going to contract a safer Torah to be written for the community. It was not a particularly affluent city. And they decided that they needed a new safer Torah. And people got involved. It was a huge community celebration. And they decided to add another exciting layer to the experiences that they were going to have a contest that the women of the community, so they should feel mekusha, they should feel connected. So they should be the ones to design the mantle, the safer Torah covering. And they had a context, and they had judges, and they were able to narrow it down. And when they had set the date for the completion of the Sefer Torah, they had all three mantles on stage, so as everybody should feel, and they were going to announce, right before they begin to dance the Torah into the shul, who would be the one and the family that would be Zohar, that would be meriting to be able to clothe the Sefer Torah. So on that day, everybody's there. They didn't have mics back then, but we'll pretend. And they announced that the Weintraub family was picked, was chosen, to be able to clothe the Sefer Torah. This Weintraub family, Nebuch, was not affluent. They had a lot of tzaras in their life, and the whole community was just beside themselves with joy that this family, Baruch Hashem, had been designated, had been selected to be able to clothe and dance with the Sefer Torah. They get up on stage, and they put the Sefer Torah covering on, and they discover she was off by a few inches. And they're pulling this way, and they're pulling that way. It wasn't going. And as quickly as they were so beyond themselves with joy, that's how quickly they felt terrible for this family who, once again, it was as if a joke was being played on them. And as the Mrs. Weintraub walks off the stage, she turns around, runs back on and says, I don't care what you have to do, but you're going to use my covering. If it means cutting out part of the Torah, you're going to cut out part of the Torah, but you're using my Sefer Torah covering. And of course, as I'm sure you can all imagine, she was escorted off and they had to pick another one. And when you hear that story, you think that woman has lost her mind. But let's be honest with ourselves. Think about our lives. Our lives are the mantle. How often in our lives are we faced with two choices? Do we make our mantle, our life, a little bit bigger? It's not as neat. It's not as convenient. It's not always as pleasant, but at least we can encapsulate the entire Torah. Or do we say to ourselves, you know what, my life is the one that's going to be constant. And if I have to cut a corner here, or I cut a corner there, okay, so be it. I'll do tshuva during Aser Simei Tshuva. If we realized that there's an anivus, there's a recognition, so a person is only going to be kone Torah, but misha meimis es atmo. A person is making themselves, the Gemara says, you have to be like a midbar. You have to be maski yourself. You have to be an anav. You have to be a humble individual to be able to acquire the Torah. You'd never have such a decision to have to be made. Yaakov Avinu is Torah. Yaakov Avinu is the Ishtam Yoshev Alim. Yaakov Avinu is MS, is because he recognized the only way to combat the Evan, the only way to combat the Yetzahara against the Torah, and the Yetzahara against the Torah is going to be strong. It's going to be stronger than any other mitzvah he's going to try to combat. The only way to do so is realizing how we fit into Hashem's plan, not telling Hashem what the plan is. And Amir Tzashem, as the Nesiva Shalom indicates to us, the same way that Yaakov, our Zayda, just a few years ago, was capable of removing that Yetzer Hara, understood what his tafkid was, to be one with Torah and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should be Yovish, we should inherit that genetic dispensation, that predisposition that we are so lucky to carry with us. And Amir Tzishem, we too should be able to remove the Avanim in our lives, those rocks in our lives, combat the Yetzer Hara, and grow closer to Hashem. Have a great day.